Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 441st edition of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Once a Metro, as well as the rest of the SB Nation soccer family of websites. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. Now, MLS has officially announced where the two teams that will enter the 2020 season of MLS for these two expansion sides in Inter Miami and Nashville SC. Now, I think it's pretty easy to say and pretty easy to describe that we knew that Inter Miami was going to be in the Eastern Conference. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I think we also had an idea Nashville SC was going to be placed in the Western Conference. And just give me, if you give me a moment, I'll tell you why. Nashville, in my opinion, is one of those sports cities in the United States that this is a town in sport that can be an Eastern Conference town or a Western Conference town. It all depends on where you're going to put them. You can definitely say it's probably more Western than Eastern because, you know, country music, you know, Western side of the United States feelings and everything, you know, the prairies and everything like that, which, you know, I don't have a problem with because I really thought that Nashville was going to start off in the Western Conference anyway because MLS wanted to – excuse me. Sorry about that. MLS wanted to have an even amount of teams to begin the 2020 season for these two sides. Now, with the addition of Austin FC and Sacramento and St. Louis coming in, once one of those teams comes into the West, I can see, or at least two of those three teams coming into the West, I can see Nashville making the move to the Eastern Conference. So it's really not that hard to describe or to dissect. This is going to be something where, you know, look, Nashville wants to have that. They have a rivalry with Atlanta that they know they're going to have. So for now, for this year, they will start off in the Western Conference, and then they'll go to the Eastern Conference once the three remaining sides that are going to enter through expansion, Austin, Texas, Sacramento, California, St. Louis, Missouri, once the Western Conference has some of those teams in there next year, Nashville will move over into the East. So that's not a big deal for me, no. But the big deal for me in reality is this. Because each conference is going to have 13 teams, if you support a side, in, whether it's in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, you're automatically going to have two matches per club. But when you face the other conference teams, well, guess what happens next? You're only going to face 10 of the 13 clubs next season, which still means five in the Western Conference and five of the other teams will come to the East and vice versa. And sooner than later, and, you know, once again, this is where I believe, and it's nice to have an even amount of sides. And I know they want to still continue to expand. And once again, I don't want to see the league dilute the player pool for the U.S. men's national team when they get to these huge moments going forward. I just think it's, you know, we got to stop expanding here. I know there's a lot of clubs that wants to be in MLS, and they're striving to become a part of MLS. The point is that when does MLS start telling these clubs that are in either USL Championship or USL First Division, when are we going to put a hold on expansion? I just believe that as of right now, you know, we got to have some of these clubs remain in USL Championship, because the truth is that it's not a bad league to be in. And we've seen plenty of competitiveness in USL Championship. We're seeing great support from these clubs. And all I can say is that I want the game to grow. We want the game to grow. But once again, when does it stop expanding into MLS? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love some of these cities that are going to be interesting for me to either visit if I ever get the opportunity, which I'm trying to. But at the same time, the big question mark is, you know, what are we going to do if and only if MLS decides to bring back the Central Conference? Because then you can juggle it around. You can juggle everything around, and you could spread it out evenly. And I truly believe that we will get to a solid number of clubs if we bring in a Central Conference. Now, obviously, the number one complaint and the number one thing that must come into play somewhere down the road, as in the near future as much as possible, is promotion and relegation. Like I've said many, many times, I am for it. I would like to see it happen, but I will not jeopardize the financial death of a soccer club, of a professional soccer club, unless we get everyone involved. Case in point, San Francisco Deltas, 1 year in, that same year out, but at the same time, the league died in the original NASL. Now, of course, the majority of those clubs have moved on to either NPSL or USL, being in the Championship League or in USL League One. What we have also seen, sadly, after 1 year, is Lansing Ignite dying after 1 year, where the owner just gave up too quickly. Gave up too quickly. Whether that owner could not do it by himself financially and needed an ownership group, then I can understand that. But still, you gave hope to you know, the city of Lansing, and then you just shut it down for no reason. Or if it was for a reason, you should have been more forthworth and informing everyone, you know, look, you might need an additional investor to help you out with the finances. It is too easy to give up on this sport. It's hard enough to stay committed, whether you have the financial backings or not. Once again, it's great to play in a facility, but if it's not your own. But at the same time, if you are the owner of the Lansing Lugnuts, the minor league baseball team, and you are able to host the club in your stadium, then by all means, you know, you don't have to worry about the financial hardships. At the same time, you know, you look at Reno 1868, the owner of the Indiana Pacers is also the owner of the minor league baseball club in the Reno Aces. And that's why he owns 1868, because he owns the ballpark. He also owns the minor league baseball team. But we need facilities to call our own. As great as it is for the expansion, as great as it is in MLS, to have more of these teams coming in, either through financial promotion or just a flat-out expansion team, you know, good. Great to hear. It's fabulous to hear. But we're going to need more. But back to the situation at hand. MLS, I think, has to stop expanding. MLS must stop expanding. There are rumors that Charlotte, North Carolina, is going to get an MLS team now. I don't know if they'll build a soccer-specific stadium, but we all know they're going to start over at Bank of America Stadium at the home of the Carolina Panthers. Is the owner of the Carolina Panthers a part of this ownership group? I'm assuming they are, but I don't want to assume. I don't want to, you know, lead you astray because I don't know the full magnitude of the ownership group that's going to be part of this Charlotte MLS team. Is it the Charlotte Independents that are going to be a part of this? Once again, there are so many questions now. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? What is the situation? But don't worry. Things will come together very soon. And for those of you waiting for Peter Brown's recorded interview, don't worry. It'll be coming soon. Just a little intro monologue. We'll get to it. But once again, as I've said many, many times, the league has to stop expanding. We must implement promotion and relegation, not just for, you know, the competitiveness for our American players, but there's going to be too much fixture congestion, and then what are you going to do when you're not playing these opponents regularly in MLS? 13 clubs in both conferences, two games against your fellow conference opponents in the same conference, and then 10 of the 13 in the opposite conference, you only play them once. And those three teams that you don't get to play, it's a travesty. I just don't believe that, you know, we have to go like this. I really believe we're going to have to now go three conferences again to make it fair. To make it fair. And if that also means to maybe shorten the league schedule, so be it. And once again, really quickly, here's how I set the whole thing up. If there were three conferences in the East for MLS, Atlanta, DC United, Inter Miami, Montreal, New England, NYCFC, New York Red Bulls, Orlando City, Philadelphia Union, and Toronto FC. In the Central, you'll have the three Texas sides in Austin, Dallas, Houston, Chicago, Columbus, Cincinnati, Minnesota, Nashville, Sporting Kansas City, and St. Louis. And in the West, at the moment, there's 29 teams: Colorado, LA Galaxy, LAFC, Portland, Real, Salt Lake, Sacramento Republic, San Jose Earthquake, Seattle Sounders, Vancouver Whitecaps. Those are the 29 sides that we know are going to come to MLS by 2022. And you play each other, you know, in conference twice. The other two conferences only once, and you can still split up who comes to who will be on the road and who will stay at home. Well, that's my idea. I got a great show for you tonight. I'm going to have on a nice special guest later on, this 6-year-old scoring machine in Miss Mariana Castiglione. 71 goals. It's unbelievable. She'll be joining us a little bit later on tonight. But first things first, a recorded interview with Mr. Peter Brown, the host of Football Miami TV, as we talk expansion draft of Miami, Inter Miami. And here is that interview right now.
Welcome back. It's the American Soccer Show as we get ready to talk about some more expansion. Of course, last week we talked about Nashville. This week it's Inter Miami. Why not bring back that man that is a big South Floridian soccer fan? Of course, he follows everything in South Florida. The one and only Peter Brown from Football Miami TV. Peter, welcome back. Welcome back to MLS for Miami. And, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of excitement going on down in South Beach.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of excitement in all of South Florida. You know, because as you know, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, the team won't play in South Beach for a couple of years. But all of South Florida's getting pretty excited about finally having MLS back in South Florida. It's been so many years where a lot of us were working hard to bring it back, and it's back. It's taken its sweet time to get here, but yeah, we're real excited to start wearing some black and pink and sporting it all around town and cheer on the Herons.
You know, I gotta tell you, this is kind of like old hat if you think about it. When Miami Fusion came around, 1998, 1999, and of course, you know, they were playing over at formerly the old Lockhart Stadium, and now it's getting a refurbishment job, which will become the new Lockhart Stadium. What's it feel like to have, you know, two bites at the cherry?
It feels great. You know, there's definitely a divide down here in South Florida. Some people are really upset that they tore down Lockhart because it's not a refresh as much as a total start over. They've even got the field going in a different direction, so you know it's facing north and south, and so the fans will mostly be sitting on the east and west side, whereas the old Lockhart faces the other direction. So it's definitely, I go and I visit that stadium every single weekend. I do a little video for that for our channel, and it's really great seeing the progress. It is a big difference between the old Lockhart that was decrepit and was filled with asbestos. There was holes in the wall everywhere. Sure, there was a lot of history there. Everybody, and I've been going to that stadium since the 70s with the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, and then on to Miami Fusion and back with the Strikers. There's plumbing that didn't work. I mean, it was bad, but it had history. And it's great to see soccer in that facility once again, and going to be making history again with the Stars. And it's great to see, like, the old soccer stars like Ray Hudson of the Fort Lauderdale Strikers really coming out and embracing this as well. And Inter Miami does say that they're going to do something to pay respect to all the teams that came and played at Lockhart before. Although I am sure we're going to see the name Lockhart disappear, as I'm sure there will be some sort of corporate sponsor.
Probably, but why not have something like, you know, Pepsi at Lockhart? So why not have that? But anyway, I digress. Expansion draft round two, technically, in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area, and let's go ahead and start off with some of the five players that were picked. Went with defense first with Ben Sweat from New York City FC. What do they see in Ben Sweat that is going to try and solidify that back line?
Well, you know, left back is a hard position to fill, and so they saw a promising young left back player, played for New York City. I believe he lost his spot in New York City, so he's going to try to get a do-over here in Miami. I've got some time with the U.S. national team, so I know that Paul McDonough, the general manager at the or sporting director here at Inter Miami, is definitely very high on Ben Sweat. He's got a lot of upside. I mean, he's young, and a lot of this team is young, so that's a real big part of this nucleus of this team is youth. Obviously, they'll have to bring in some age in there, and you know, over time, and they did that a little bit in some of these future picks that we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm. And Alvis Powell coming from Cincinnati, FC Cincy, also a backline player. You know, I would say a solid defender. I wouldn't say, you know, you're going to have like, you know, a 10-star type of player, but he's a solid defender that you can put into the roster.
I don't know about Alvis Powell. That's the one, two picks on here that maybe concern me a little bit. Alvis is one of them. You know, I didn't have a good year in Cincinnati, but then again, nobody did. So, you know, maybe you give him a do-over. And down here in Miami, he did fairly well in Portland. I'm just not too sure. I'm not sold on Alvis Powell. I heard he's definitely got some call-ups with the Jamaican national team. I think he might have gotten one recently. So hopefully Paul McDonough sees something in him that I just didn't see. That's the one I'm concerned about. I mean, he feels like he could be a liability in the back. but, you know, we, you know, we're crossing our fingers on that. You know, anytime you see that you got a Cincinnati player, you got a, you might, you know, room for some concern.
No, I agree with you there. We'll see what happens. But I think this is a big steal for Inter Miami. I mean, you've got Lee Wynn, of course, powerhouse player in the midfield, attacking. Very, very crafty. It's amazing to see LAFC actually allowing him to be selected in the expansion draft. But then again, what are you going to do? That's the gamble that you had to take. And now Wynn is back in the East Coast, and he's down in South Florida.
That was one I was super excited about. He's all, you know, he brings in the experience that I was saying that this young team is lacking. He's got tons of MLS experiences, which is important when, you know, they've previously signed Mateus Pellegrini, Julian Carranza, Christian McCune, a bunch of, you know, highly touted South American players, but they don't have MLS experience. And as we all know, MLS is a different kind of animal with the travel and so forth. Lee Wynn has definitely got that experience. He's a little bit older, 33, and I believe his cap hit is a little bit above $500,000. Maybe that's why LA left him unprotected, that you know, they can free up some cap space, and or maybe they thought nobody would select him. Sometimes, you know, they leave players unprotected that they don't think will be selected. But I, you know, that this is, I think, a great get for this, for this team, especially. I mean, he may only be with us for a couple of years. He may only have 1 or 2 years left in those legs. But, you know, finishing it off down here, who doesn't want to come down and come down to South Beach and you know, on the weekends when he's not playing, enjoy the beautiful weather that we have. I mean, you know, it's winter and it's like 78 degrees outside.
Stop teasing me. Anyway. Stop teasing me, Peter. I know. We're not playing the weather game here, okay? Stay on the topic at hand, all right? Would you please? Anyway.
I'm sorry. It's 73. It's a little colder.
Damn you. Anyway. Luis Arguido from Columbus, another midfield player. You know, I think he's a solid midfielder, probably more defensive than attacking, but... to me, Arguido looks like he'll be a solid player for Miami in the opening 2020 season.
Yeah, and this is a player that Paul McDonough, again, the sporting director, had said that he got the most calls on. So when they picked him, you know, all the other teams start calling about, you know, making trades and so forth. He's the player that they got the most calls about. So, you know, young player at Columbus Crew. I think he's done well there, and I guess everybody in the league is not a, anybody that is not a name that was on anybody's mock draft. That is a name that kind of came out of nowhere, but apparently all the general managers across the league see something in this guy, and so Paul McDonough definitely wanted to hold on to him. And you know, the interesting thing was that, you know, while Nashville was getting drafts, they were picking their players and then moving them really quick, we decided they wanted to keep everybody. So Luis Arguido is one of those players they could have traded. There was interest, and they decided to keep him. So I would imagine he's definitely somebody that could end up in the starting lineup. And of course, it all depends on, you know, if they bring on any big name players that they've kind of promised us. But you know, exciting. I think he could be an exciting young player.
I think so, too. Brian Meredith, of course, the backup goalkeeper in Seattle, is now a part of Inter Miami. But, you know, there are rumors right now that possibly, and it's only rumors at the moment, that Luis Robles might be signed by Inter Miami to take over the net when 2020 gets underway.
Yeah, that would be super exciting. And again, Brian Meredith was a backup keeper in Seattle, and he'll be a backup keeper here as well. It's not somebody that you want jumping right into the starting lineup with only one MLS start under his belt. So somebody like Robles, you know, groom Meredith if he is to be the future play, you know, keeper of the future. That's great, but I don't know enough about him. But Robles, we all know about it. And that's a player that we could definitely get excited about. Still got a few years left in those arms or legs. Keepers tend to age better and play longer. So, you know, I don't understand what you guys did, why you let him go up there. But we'll take him down here in a heartbeat, I think. And everything I've heard about him is that he's just got the best attitude. He's like the best locker room guy you can ever imagine. So going back to the youth of this team, that's important.
Yes, it is. No, absolutely. I mean, I can definitely say personally, Luis Robles has been a complete gentleman, professional, and, you know, hard-nosed goalkeeper. That's why he wore the captain's armband this year and last year. Luis Robles has been a fantastic goalkeeper for the Red Bulls for the last several years since coming over from Germany. Big signing, I thought, bringing over Victor Yoloa from FC Cincinnati. Of course, he was, you know, he grew up in the FC Dallas Academy, had some wonderful years with FC Dallas, and then, of course, that expansion draft got picked up by FC Cincinnati. Now Miami brings him over. I think right now you've got two solid midfielders, two solid attacking midfielders that can do some damage for Inter Miami to start this 2020 season.
Yeah, Victor Yoloa, they didn't have to give up much for him either. They gave up $50,000 in GAM and a third-round super draft pick. That was it. I think that's pretty cheap, in my opinion, for what we're going to get. I mean, a product of the FC Dallas system, had a lot of good years there, and I think most people know that FC Dallas has a great academy system. So, yeah, I think that was definitely a good get. I'm surprised that Cincinnati let him go, because that is somebody, you know, while Cincinnati was bad, they hoped to be better, and that's somebody that you could have I don't want to say build around, but, you know, he's definitely a good piece of the puzzle. And so we're definitely happy to take him. He got a nice pop down here when he was announced at a fan event. A lot of excitement around getting him. And again, you got him cheap.
Yep.
So why not?
Nope, absolutely. Why not? Go for it. Look, great picks in the expansion draft. Some shrewd moves to get some solid players. But we don't know who the head coach is, do we, for Inter Miami? I mean, how is that possible? You're making all these moves, and yet you still don't have a head coach.
Yeah, good question. That's a question everybody down here keeps asking. You know, where's the coach? There's every famous player that has opportunity to move, like contract expiring or what have you, is rumored to come to Miami. And so is every coach. You know, you name it, they've been rumored here. It is a roller coaster ride, because one minute everybody is kind of bought in. Okay, everybody thinks it's going to be Santiago Solari. I wasn't 100% in on that one, but he's got, you know, a good pedigree with the Real Madrid youth system and academy system, and then their second team, and then have a cup of coffee with the first team. We think it's going to be him, then it's not. And so he's gone on to some role at Real Madrid and some sort of ambassador role. Then the word is it's Marcelo Gallardo. Everybody gets excited that we're going to get the coach from River Plate. He took his team to a championship. The word is that he won't start negotiating with Inter Miami until, I think it's December 13th, which is the end of the playing year for River Plate, so mid-December, and Miami wants to have a coach now. So now the name Patrick Vieira has popped up. So it's like, and we just keep going down the list. And that's a name, while he is a good coach, and most people say there's some sort of adjective to say, you know, he's a pretty good coach. He's surprisingly a good coach. He is not the big-name coach that our ownership, Jorge Mas, the main owner down here that's running things, managing owner, it's not the big name that he's kind of promised us, you know. So, and it is interesting that in the expansion draft interview that he had with MLSsoccer.com, he said that they already had their coach lined up, and that coach had some impact and had some say about the players that were picked in the expansion draft. So it makes us wonder down here, was he fibbing a little bit, or was it, and more likely this is the case, he thought he had a deal in hand. The deal went sideways. Maybe that deal was Gallardo, because we all thought it was Gallardo. And maybe it still can be. But they're going to obviously have to wait. And it's crazy. Like you said, picking players without having a coach. Now, Paul McDonough has said that that's not really that important if the coach is coming from outside of MLS. Because that coach is not going to have any knowledge of these players anyway. So they'll just coach whoever he picks, and he's got experience picking players. So it makes sense, But if they get somebody like Vieira who does have MLS experience, it would have been a good idea to have him in place already. But he's coaching over at Nice. And then there's Roberto Martinez that's also been mentioned that they've spoken to. But, you know, is he going to leave Belgium? You know, these are all a lot of big names. Are they shooting too high, and are they going to have to settle? I mean, down here, they're selling the team as we're going to go for the stars. We're going to the checkbook is open, but they're not landing any of them. They're taking so long to do anything. It just goes on that Miami time, that Latin time. It's kind of like tranquilo, tranquilo, relax, don't worry about it. It'll all happen. But as a fan base, it's challenging.
It really is, and it will be challenging in 2020. Peter, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Good luck in this season, and I'll talk to you again during the season. Take care now.
We look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
And that is Peter Brown from Football Miami TV on the expansion draft from Inter Miami. You know, you just got to say that I think they did make some shrewd moves, but unfortunately, they don't have a head coach. And that's kind of troublesome right there, and it's a bit worrying right now. You know, you cannot assume that Miami is going to do something big unless they get themselves a head coach. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's happening like this, but you know what? It's a situation, once again, where you just have to say that for Inter Miami, they got to fix that
problem.
Tell them,
please record your message. When you finish recording, you may have.
And as of right now, it's just a little bit difficult to see. And you don't know what's going to happen. But once again, they got to get their act together, and hopefully they can get a manager or a head coach or something to go forward. And it should be very, very interesting to watch. Should be very interesting to see. And hopefully we'll get to this situation. And it should be a lot of fun. It should be interesting to take a look and see what's going to happen. But once again, and it should be a lot of fun. And we'll have to wait and see what the situation will be. And it should be a lot of fun. We are waiting now for my next guest. Hopefully it's not past her bedtime. She is 6 years old. And for those wondering why are you interviewing a six-year-old who's doing great things with girls soccer, youth soccer, with an under-8 squad, well, you know, I myself personally, I have
is not available.
A horrible year. I've had a horrible year, health wise, and I'm on the mend. Hopefully, I am ready to go and get back into the swing of things. It has been a horrible year for me, but health-wise and stuff. But I hope that nothing else will happen. So one of the people that I go to this, it's my doctor's office, obviously, and there's an infusion center. And I'm getting antibiotic IV. It's a very bad infection I've had. In my system that has come and gone, and hopefully this will be the last of it. So hopefully I've taken care of it. So she told me about her daughter, and her name is Mariana Castellonia. She is 6 years old. She plays for this under-8 squad, and it's based in Ogdensburg, New York. Even though she's from New Jersey, but, you know, they're called the Ogdensburg Bears. And her daughter was just scoring goals all over the place. And whenever her mother had to take her out of the match, she was not happy. She was not happy at all. So, yes, there is competitive kids out there. And she scored 71 goals for the year. And, you know, I just said to myself, I had to have her on the show. I wanted her to get her moment in the sun. Have her, you know, moment in the sun and everything. And so all you can say is that, you know, why not? Why not bring this kid on? Why not have her have the opportunity to have her on? And trying to get in touch. I mean, you know, I have obviously text messaging going and everything, trying to set this whole thing up. So hopefully we will see what's going to happen and try again to contact her mother. And her mother is a very wonderful person. Hopefully we
Victoria
have her on now, and let's see here.
Is not available.
And no, we don't. So we're going to keep waiting and see what's going to happen. And it's just been very, very difficult right now to get her on at the moment. But we're going to try and get her on and have her on the show and talk to her because, look, this is a big show. One of the famous shows, of course, in all of internet soccer discussion. But sometimes these things happen. If there's an emergency, we probably don't know what happened. And it's just going to be one of those things that sometimes it happens. But you know what? It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about this. Because whenever do you talk about, you know, the possibilities that they may have it, they may have that something special in that young of an age. It's a situation, once again, that you know, you never know if someone like that can maybe one day, in the very, very distant future, we can't say anything like a six-year-old that can make the U.S. women's national team, you know, and all that stuff. I don't want to put any pressure on the girl. But, you know, if she loves playing the game and she, you know, has a desire of maybe going, you know, further down the road and maybe being a part of the women's national team, you know, way, way down in the future, why not? You know, let her talk. Let her give an opportunity. And hopefully we can get her on. So we'll just, you know, just waiting patiently to get her on. And hopefully. Hopefully. You know, we'll have a discussion and we'll talk to her about this hang on 1 second, we might have a phone call here.
Hello. Hi. Okay, so listen, let me call you on that number, okay? Oh, hi, what happened? Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Lucille. I'll call you back, okay? Thank you. Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just got some news unfortunately, that my guest for tonight is not available to discuss her soccer career. Unfortunately, I just found out that where she lives, a tree fell down on her house, and there's no power in the house. So that was the grandmother that called me. As some of you know, here in the Northeast, we had a huge snowstorm that just came out of nowhere, and it hit us. And apparently now we have, unfortunately, I will have no secondary guest for tonight. We do hope that Miss Mariana and her parents and her other two sisters, that they are going to be okay and everything's going to be fine. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to have her power outage. A tree fell down the house. That was the grandmother that called me up. So we're going to postpone this for now for this interview. We'll try and bring her on another time, hopefully in a week or two, probably in 2 weeks. We'll try and get back. I apologize. Sometimes these things happen, and it's stuff that we can't we don't expect. So we'll have her on again at another time, either before the end of the last show of the year or starting in the new year. So we'll just have to wait and see. So what we're going to do is we're going to call tonight, unfortunately. But once again, I appreciate everyone coming onto the show, listening to the show. And we're going to just make it a quick early night. We'll talk to you next week. Next week's show, we will have on those amateur sides that qualified for the 2020 U.S. Open Cup. That'll be next week's show. So at the moment, we're going to have on people from Christos FC, FC Boulder Harpos, still trying to get others to come on, and it should be a fun show. But I want to thank my guest, Peter Brown, from Football Miami TV, for recording his segment tonight. So all I can say is thank you for listening tonight. I hope everything is well with all of you. This is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for listening, and as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good evening. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now.